You ready? Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play podcast. I wouldn't say this week because we're just trying to pump as many we can out this week.
Oh, we're just hammering the content this week.
Because there's so many sports coming back. But this podcast taping today will be about round 17 of the NRL. So starting with the obvious sort of Thursday night game, the Broncos went down to the Panthers at home 25-12.
The Broncos put up a hell of a fight.
Yeah. I literally thought they were in it or after halftime. It sort of came across
it was 14-6 at halftime, but you know Brisbane didn't really look out of it. Was it just me or did like Suncorp Stadium, like the grass there, look really really fake green? I don't know. Yeah. It was really weird. It looks so bright. It's very strange. Like, obviously they've got some sort of water surplus or something down in Brisbane at the moment. They can really give Suncorp. But it just looked really weird.
Green. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, they had the Broncos had Payne Huss that come back, so that would have helped them up front. They were right in it. Penrith looked a little out of sync, I think, in that first half, doing enough to keep Brisbane at bay. I thought something that sort of really stuck out to me as well was the story of the halves kicking game. Nathan Cleary had all the time in the world to place kicks where he wanted to and attack. There was no kick pressure on him at all. Mm-hmm. And it's a credit to the Broncos half and how, both their halves. In how well they got their kicks off and where they placed them, because they had multiple players coming at O'Sullivan and Dearden from all angles, and for their kicking game to be as precise as what it was is an absolute credit to those guys and Brisbane to keep them in the game. It was unbelievable, like just so much time Cleary had to place kicks where he wanted to. It was just they just looked a little out of sync, a little clunky at times in attack, but did enough, to get the win.
Yeah, well, I actually had that written down that they were, O'Sullivan and Dearden end up getting, Dearden got over 300 kicking meters, even Isaac Luke got over 200 as well as O'Sullivan. So they had, you're exactly right, to get the most kick meters in that game in Brisbane. Considering how much pressure they had on them, was great. Yeah, 842 meters up against 590. I think the biggest thing I think has let them down, and it wasn't so much they were missing tackles, but it was the amount of meters that Penrith were able to get and easy. That was to me the biggest. They had a few people that were over 200 meters, not just one or two. There was like nearly three or four. So
no, that's right. And actually, the Broncos made getting forward look very hard.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And like Dylan Edwards again, only getting 300 meters. So isn't he? I don't know. Like we don't talk about him that much, but I think he's been a little bit of a revelation. You know, we talk about Coruscant a lot, but he's been a little bit of a revelation for them at fullback.
Oh, absolutely. And for not to say that and it's no disrespect to him, not to say that he's a no name halfback, but he doesn't really come across as that super flashy. Fullback, do you know what I mean? He does what needs to be done, and that's what Penrith are sort of going about their business at the moment. Even though this game wasn't their greatest, they still got the win, and they've got everybody out there. They're a well drilled unit, and they're going out there, and every individual is going out there and doing their job, and it's working really well, and that will put good teams under pressure when they don't sort of falter under the pressure. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. I think I don't like the adage that you have to, but I think, they are having a great run of form. their run home, they say they've got the Eels this week. Then they've got the Cowboys, which, you know, theoretically should be a win. Theoretically.
Yeah, no, theoretically, it will be a win.
And then the Bulldogs. So I don't care, really, to be honest, like, except for this week where, you know, it'll be probably a bigger game for the Eels. But it doesn't bother me if they keep winning. Who cares? If they keep winning, there's nothing, you don't have to lose one to get rid of one in the finals. I think if they finish first, they can lose one in the finals at the first week.
They'll have two bites at the cherry, which is, you know, when you finish in the top four, that's what you want.
But yeah, I don't think if you can keep winning, you know, it just puts you more instead. I think, you know, you have to get a win out of the way. I hate the concept of that idea. I just think, you know, like if you're playing that good and you, like you just said, they're a well drilled machine, keep that machine going.
Yeah, you might as well. But as long as they don't falter coming around to finals time, it's all hindsight. But yeah, if they're playing the way that they are, like you said, you may as well just keep chugging along. But it's not for all teams. You know, there's teams out there that do need a loss to jolt them back into gear. But Penrith. The way that they're going, that they don't really look like they need that, even though they've got Parramatta this week. Like you said, you know, then they've got the Cowboys and the Bulldogs, who, you know, going on sort of recent form, will be tough games, but still should be wins.
It's funny you say that. The next game was the a team that did need a jolt after a humiliating loss last week. The Knights. Really taking the Sharks to town, 38-10.
They were electrifying. They come out with a purpose.
Yep.
And I think, yeah, and to say it as well, I think Cronulla come out with a purpose too, and that was to bash the living hell out of Kalen Ponga. you have a look at him. He copped shots to the face. Yeah. He was getting hit after kicks. Like he got belted,
you know,
we'll get into it in a minute with the Chad Townsend hit, later on in the game after a 20-meter tap. I think Cronulla come out with a clear plan to come out there and really put some hard and heavy pressure on Kalen Ponga. It kind of backfired on him because he had his best game of the season.
Oh, exactly right. I was just about to say that. So he had the best game of the season. I reckon he's been fairly consistent. You know, he's had lapses in games, but that game, yeah, you're 100% right. It backfired him. Three line breaks over 200 meters, and he was everywhere, and they could see that. So,
But that's what you should be going out there to do. To do anyway. If you're playing Newcastle, put pressure on him. And, you know, and then hopefully it sort of filters down to the halves and everything. But he's your X factor. He's your guy that can sort of really spark you in attack, you know, off the cuff, you know, sort of play. So just the way that I sort of watched that game, you know, as I was, and it just looked like they'd almost forgotten how to play football.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just sort of going out there to just really give Kalen a really, really hard time and to sort of, I guess, sort of take him out of the game. And then he just proceeds to score his first hat trick of his career. So,
well, it did. It's taken him out this week. So he's not playing this week. Unfortunately, that's
the thing. I hope that there's no sort of lingering issues that have come from that hit. From Townsend, like it didn't look like it did. He didn't miss a beat after being smashed by Townsend. If he was feeling any effects, then why didn't he go off for a HIA? He did.
That's right.
The doctors would have seen that.
The Knights have said that they're purely just doing it to rest him because, you know.
I don't know if this is the right thing to do. Like he's if this is going to coming into a good patch of form for him. Then why rest him? Like, I get it, it's against the Roosters and it's probably going to be a loss. But I don't like that mentality of that's how I see it anyway. Oh, it's probably going to be a loss anyway, so let's just rest a few of our guys. They're resting Heimel Hunt, and I think they're resting either Barnett or Fitzgibbon, one of them, in the teams that were named this afternoon. So
I just
don't like that mentality. That's the mentality that comes across to me. Is okay, cool. It's against the Roosters. It's probably going to be a loss.
Yeah.
So let's just rest a few players. I don't like it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, although your boy Tex Hoy is going to play fullback this week.
He's back.
Tex Hoy.
He should have been playing last week. It was named on the reserves. I think he was in jersey 18-19, but he didn't. He didn't get in. That's what I had sort of written down with a little sad face. No Tex Hoy. So, next week it'll be Tex Hoy with a big smiley face. What did you think of the hit on Ponga by Townsend?
It deserves a send off. There's no way.
Really?
Yes, because you could clearly after the replay. There are thousands of replays. So Ponga stopped. You can clearly see he has stopped. You could clearly hear the ref. He has jumped. He's launched at him.
He had time. Out of that though.
He had time to stop. Even if he couldn't he couldn't put it out of it. You don't go in like that. He's come in with malice. It looks like
He's come in to put a big shot on. He's trying to lift his team. I get it. It doesn't deserve a send off. Hit him at the judiciary with a shoulder charge and a penalty was sufficient to send him off. It was just wrong, and that was one of the blunders that I've got for this week. It's a blunder. It's not a send off.
What constitutes a send off to you then?
You watch it in real time.
Yeah.
Chad Townsend has absolutely no chance of pulling out on that.
Sure.
So if that keeps going, if that play keeps going and the referee doesn't pull it up, he's gonna hit him. But Kalen Ponga stops.
He's the one, and
that's what makes it look so sensational and terrible.
Correct. He's flown at him. There's a thousand different ways he could have tackled at him. It's the way he's hit him. I get that.
It's reckless. But if that's going to be a collision with a full speed Kalen Ponga and a full speed Tad Townsend, then that's going to be a hell of a collision. Who's going to come off second best? You don't know. And it's probably going to be a judiciary appearance for Chad Townsend, but to send him off, I'm a Newcastle fan. I just don't think it was right. I thought it was a bit of a blunder. I didn't like it. And watching it live, I didn't like the fact that everybody was stunned that he was sent off.
Oh well, then to me, what constitutes as a send off then these days? Not much.
It's they do send offs for fighting. Kevin Proctor a few weeks ago was sent off for supposedly biting Sean Johnson, which he kind of didn't bite because he didn't sort of chomp down on his arm. He just sort of had his teeth exposed. So, I don't think that was a bite, and I don't think that was a send-offable offense either. Because Sean Johnson didn't make an official complaint with the referees.
Yeah, correct.
It's all gone on what the bunker's seen at, but Sean Johnson did not make an official complaint that, yes, he has bitten me. That's getting sidetracked a little bit. I just don't think it was a send-off. It's a trip to the judiciary, and he's been suspended for 3 weeks, but I just don't think it's a send-off. It's a penalty offence.
Yeah, you're right. Ponga stopped, and it looked worse, 100%.
That's what I mean. When you watch it at full speed, you can see that Ponga has started to relax and slow down, and Chad Townsend hasn't.
But then he didn't have to go. He's launched at him. That's the thing I don't like about it. That's why he's launched at him with arms. He hasn't gone to tackle him.
No,
no, no, no. Well, but I mean the other thing too, he was pretty bloody before it even got there as well.
He copped a couple of shots to the face.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what Kalen Ponga would have been feeling it. to start with. And Kalen himself said it in the post game interview that he had with Fox Sports. He's just like, no, he didn't hit me in the head. He didn't really say much about, oh, you know, was it a bad shot or a good shot? But that's, I mean, you watch it in full speed again, it just looks so unbelievably sensational because of the fact that Kalen Ponga stopped.
The other fact is that, again, the Sharks still haven't been in the top eight side this year. So very interesting. They're sitting eighth at the moment, but yeah. Well,
they haven't beaten anybody above them.
No, they have not beaten a top eight side this year, which obviously isn't going to bode well coming into the finals. But that would have been the one that we should have won if they were going to. And they did it. They just, didn't get over that line.
No.
Next game was that I was watching on Friday night was the Storm just getting over the Rabbitohs 22-16.
I was messaging you. I thought you might have been getting a bit worried. They were trailed.
I calmly messaged you back at 10. No, I got nothing to worry about.
But it's, I mean, they were trailing for a lot of that game, and it was a credit to a credit to the Storm that they didn't panic.
And they're not a team that it's surprising because they're not a team that likes to play from behind. So it's surprising when they do play from behind that they did pull up the win, because a team that likes it all the time. Well, they're a team like, you know, with the composure, they're always, when they're always in front, they just knuckle down and then just do the absolute basics to win the game. So
that's right. They'll grind you out of it.
Yeah, that's exactly what, and that's what they always do. So yeah, it was surprising that they won. I mean, the Munster try, you know, it ended up being pretty good towards the end there. But I really thought, honestly, when you messaged and I kept watching, I thought South easily could have won. I really thought South could have won. So they didn't play terrible.
No, South played as good as you possibly could against a team that's entrenched in the top four, and as classy as what Melbourne is, even with the few guys sort of missing. You know, everything was fairly even. The only thing what let South down was their hands. I think that they had a lot of errors. They kept gifting Melbourne opportunity after opportunity after opportunity in Melbourne's attacking half to put them away. And to their credit, you know, they didn't let the game get out of hand. But that was the thing to me. It was just errors and a little bit of ill discipline by South. And you just, against the good teams, you simply can't do that.
No, that's right. And that's pretty much sort of what let them down towards the end there. So they weren't terrible. I think, the weather was terrible, clearly, so that always plays, you know, some sort of part.
No, that's right. But that was the thing. Like, once South fell behind, they didn't really have the confidence in themselves to just keep playing the way that they were. They thought they had to, you know, to try and push for points, and they got a little panicky.
Yeah, they did, and that's probably what let them down, because they thought they had to sort of push for points. But like you said, it was a pretty even game, really across the board. Every stat was fairly even, probably except the completion rate, like what you just sort of said. The completion rate was probably what let them down, because they sort of had forced the errors on themselves because they thought they had to get the try, basically. So
no, that's right. But and 4-2 as well was probably a little bit telling. Like, they took a couple of penalty shots. South did. The Campbell Graham try, slick to be able to plant it down as he was reaching around and over the top of two Storm defenders and ended up planting it just inside the in goal. There was some really slick moves throughout that game. And, you know, is I guess in sort of typical Wayne Bennett fashion, you know, Wayne Bennett's coach team, you know, taking those penalties when they're available.
Yeah.
They're basically super early in the game. And then it was just after half time where they took another penalty goal. So that's always been sort of Wayne Bennett's MO. He likes to take those points when they're on offer.
Yeah.
But it just in the end it was just some handling errors and a little bit of poor discipline which cost South. And for it to only be a 6-point margin, is pretty much a testament to how well they could go, and they'll finish, I guess, in that 5-8 range. But the, you know, if they keep playing it the way they are, they could trouble some of the top teams.
Yeah, I think so. With Melbourne, Ryan Pappenhausen, so he's only 22, but just listened to a quick interview before we got on with just Slater and Bellamy, just in awe of Pappenhausen. You know, the guy's only 22. Bellamy reckons he's still got some things he can tighten up, which is scary.
Great.
But he's 22. Where, like, you know, he's unfortunately that he's playing in a, well, he's only 22, so it's probably not too bad, but he's playing in a generation where there's a huge amount of fullbacks in the New South Wales, because he's a New South Welshman squad. So I don't know where to, like, where I see, like, he clearly looks the goods, and he's only young, but, you know, is he a future State of Origin player / Australian player?
Yeah, he possibly could be.
Yeah.
If he keeps trending in the way that he does, like, yeah, then absolutely he's going to be one of the top fullbacks in the game. But boy, there's some good ones around, and you know, the number one sort of fullback in the game, it's going to be pretty tough to unseat James Tedesco.
Yeah, it's like every time your Papa Hansen had a good game, and then you look at Tedesco and you go, Jesus Christ. So
yeah, and you're like, it's like, yeah, you just be resigned to the fact that, oh well, you know, I'm not quite there yet. But it's, yeah, the some of the things that he does is, you know, is scary. And I think we've said it before, you know, Billy Slater-esque.
Yeah. Well, and that's what Billy said. Billy come out and said it feels like watching, you know, not exactly what he does, but it's like watching himself when he was young. So,
yeah, that's which
if it's scary that he's saying that, it's because he was one of the best fullbacks ever. So,
exactly. You listen to some people think that he's the best fullback that the game's ever seen.
It's hard to argue. I'd put it that way. It's very hard to argue. So, but we went around with the whole Daily Messenger days, and apparently he was one of the best fullbacks ever to lace boots.
No,
so,
that's right. Yeah, you know, even he could. Yeah, that's a debate, you could, I guess, heaps, for another day. You could, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Next game was just the Titans and Bulldogs. The Titans just, you know, I know it was against the Bulldogs, but the Titans just in a rich vein of form. Another win, 18-14.
Won 3 out of 5 at the moment. So, yeah. You know, they're looking happy in the way that they play. It's Anthony Don sort of come out and said this week while doing sort of midweek press conferences that yeah, it was getting a little monotonous, and I guess that's probably a parting shot at Garth Brennan. He wasn't really enjoying coming to training and mm-hmm. playing. But they look like they're very much enjoying what they're doing at the moment. We have these quick starts to games, and it's happening a lot. Where teams are going out there and they're getting tries in the first 5 to 6 minutes. Like, pretty much the Gold Coast scored off their first attacking set.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just, when you're in opposition, you just put yourself under so much pressure when that happens. And you're like, wow, you know, we're meant to be as fresh as we're going to get throughout the game. And yet defensively, we're letting in soft tries the way that they are. So it just... It's just the way that the Bulldogs that weren't out of it by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
The Gold Coast, they definitely looked the better of the two teams throughout most of that game.
To me the one that stood out again, I said it last week, I'm saying it again, Jamal Fogarty is, you know, he's great. He is really taking that number 7 jersey and. For me, and owning it, it's like he's playing. Even though, and I had to look into it, even though his contract is still for next year, it's like he's playing for, you know, a new contract.
It's almost a contract here.
He's up, you know, upsetting Ash Taylor. Like, you know, there's no way Ash Taylor has played as better as this guy has in the last 4 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I think, yeah, one thing that Fogarty could probably shore up a little bit is defensively. Like, he's not so much a little bit of a liability, but he does get targeted a lot. And, you know, basically both tries that two of the three tries, sorry, that Canterbury scored went straight through Fogarty sort of outside between him and the centre. So yeah, I think that could be something that he can shore up a little bit. Canterbury's lack of fifth tackle, of quality fifth tackle options, sort of shot them in the foot a lot. Yeah. And as soon as Kieran Foran went off, and Kieran Foran's been playing really well as of late, as soon as he went off, it's a ruptured pec. I think it's a ruptured pec. He's got pretty nasty pectoral injury, so he's done for the season.
Yeah,
it's coming into interesting. Coming into a contract year, so who's going to want to pick up him at the moment? But yeah, once he went off, they really began to struggle. Canterbury, Lachlan Lewis sort of stepped up there a little bit, and that was one of the tries that he slipped past Jamal Fogarty. On Lewis's left-hand side, on the Canterbury left-hand side of attack. So I think that can be something that can be definitely shored up, but he will be a target in defence on that line, which halfbacks and 5/8s of that nature aren't really, renowned for their terrific defence. Thurston was a turnstile for the first 10 years that he played. He got a hell of a lot better as the years went on. But it is what it is.
Yeah, that's right. Thurston, I think you noticed once he put muscle on, he just felt more confident trying to tackle. That's what I noticed straight away with Thurston, like how big he got over those years.
And that was the thing too. Thurston had pretty much had two bunk shoulders as well. Like that was So you'd think that would affect him a lot, but it didn't. Come towards the end. At the end, he wasn't. He was absolutely not a liability in defence.
Oh, no way.
You could target him.
Yeah, exactly. Next game was the Tigers, pretty much at the death, getting over Sea Eagles 34-32. Comeback. It was a great comeback, actually.
Oh, did Manly just totally gag this game away?
High-scoring game, but it was just, they had it in the bag. After that 66 minutes, they were 3 tries up, and then I don't know what happened. I mean, it was great. It was a great sort of turnaround for the Tigers. I just don't know what happened to Manly in that game to lose.
Yeah, it was it was unbelievable. Like this year, they overcome a 16-point deficit with 11 minutes to go. Scored 3 tries in the last 11 minutes, and you'd think once the momentum's going against you, especially in that sort of regard, sometimes it's just hard to wrestle it back. And when a team comes home with a wet sail like the Tigers did, it was crazy. But in saying that, when you start to have a look over the team stats and everything like that, that was the one of the things too was again like we said about the Broncos, Manly made going forward look very hard. It looked a lot easier for the Tigers.
But no, for Luma it did anyway. 10 tackle breaks.
No, he just continues on his merry way, doesn't he? And there's sort of rumors swirling around that whether or not he'll be picked for State of Origin and those things of those nature. But like I said, Manly pretty much had that in the bag. Everything pointed to a Manly victory. They did everything that they could except for hold them out in the last 11 minutes. It just, Tigers had no right to win that game. And it was great for the club, who have been in a little bit of turmoil as of late. There's been a little bit of news sort of coming out about what happened at halftime there. And guys,
Russell Packer and
Josh Reynolds decided to leave at halftime, and it was only 2012 at halftime. It's not as if they were doomed.
It wasn't
if it was 30-0 or anything. Like it's very bizarre why they would have left at halftime.
I've never been a Russell Packer out
there
fan.
That they were a little bit cool and a little bit cold down there. So, but you live in Sydney, like give me a break.
I've never been a Russell Packer fan. I don't like plays. He's too much of a liability for what he gets paid for. That's probably the best way to put it.
True.
So, did you like the move of Adam Dewey in the centres and Moses Mboy on fullback at fullback. Sorry.
I don't know. That's I don't know why. This is just Dewey's trying to learn his craft.
I didn't mind Dewey in the centres. I was just it was the Mboy thing that sort of threw me at fullback. But I didn't mind Adam Dewey in the centres.
No, to me, that's you know he was essentially a winger slash centre at South last year.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's been playing fairly well at fullback. Why make the change now?
I don't know. I agree, but he I'm not sure unless again Michael Maguire tinkering with his squad like he always seems to do.
He loves to tinker.
He ended up getting 6 tackle breaks, you know, and a couple of he obviously scored, but he also with a line break assist as well. So I don't know if he I don't know. It seemed a bit more comfortable at that center position. I don't know if fullback's Moses Mboy's position. Don't get me wrong. I like Dewey.
Oh yeah, no, and I love the way he's played at fullback. So I just don't get why you'd take him out of there. Whether that's going to sort of ruin his confidence and go, oh geez, you know, coach doesn't trust me at fullback. He's putting a more proven commodity in Mboy at fullback, and Mboy is a Mr. Fix-It. Yeah, he's good at a lot of things. He's not great at one position. Do you know what I mean? You know, he can fill in the halves, in the centres, at dummy half, at fullback. You know, he probably wouldn't be able to play in the forward pack too much. But do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's a Swiss Army knife, and that's it just was a very strange move to shift Dewey out of there. I just think that has the potential to rattle someone's confidence going forward.
I agree. I mean, he's got a great burn on him. He can kick a goal, so I don't think he's going to be left out of the squad at all. But I mean, I suppose he's a kicker. Not anybody can kick a football. But I
just
agree.
Just have a look at what Kyle Feld's done this year. So let's use that as a.
He's got
a gigantic boot on him, but the radar is a little off.
Kyle Feld. Oh, Kyle Felt can I swear I'm sure he could do a dropout nearly 100 meters if he tried.
I sat at this old stadium here at 1300 Smile Stadium and proceeded to watch him slot a 55 meter penalty goal that we hear was about 10 meters off center. Unbelievable. It was right at the end of the half. I cannot remember who it was against, and he made it look easy. Like it didn't look like he had to put everything, you know, absolutely everything into it. It was about 2 or 3 years ago. It was unbelievable.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've seen him do dropouts on that. And I'm always in it. I didn't know that. That's ridiculous.
No, it was crazy. I'll have to look that up and try and find out if I totally forget about that next week. But anyway,
next game that finished off Saturday was the Roosters just getting over the Raiders 18-6. Oh man, I was sick of Tedesco had a brilliant game. You know what I'm going to say already, hey?
You can say it because I was too.
I was just so sick of seeing 14 minutes and seeing like every little bit of what Sonny Bill had to do.
What was that? Sitting on the bench for 67 minutes?
Yeah, stretching and like all the touches. It's just come on, like. You know, you've got literally the best player in the game on that. Show Tedesco. But
yeah, right. Reigning Dally M player and possibly 2-time, back-to-back Dally M player of the year.
Yeah.
Yet you focus on a guy who's been back at training for 3 weeks, played 13 minutes, made 4 hit-ups, and after his first hit-up looked like he was gassed already.
I'd even go one step further and say you focused on that when you had one guy that played his 300th game and they didn't even seem to care. And Josh Morris.
They don't care about that.
Well, clearly not. But you know, it was a grind out win. It wasn't the greatest game to watch personally, like except for Tedesco, because you know great Tedesco was playing.
The first 10 minutes looked like, you know, all signs sort of pointed to a fairly free flowing type game. You know what I mean? Like, you know, each team scored. Yeah, you know, within the first 10 minutes, and you're like, oh, okay, this could be like they played earlier in the year when Canberra sort of sprung a bit of a comeback on the Roosters and sort of, you know, one of the bigger the more fancy team in the Roosters getting run down by Canberra early on in the season, which was a bit of a shock. But yeah, this game, I thought it looked like it was going to be a fairly free flowing game, but yeah, it just turned into a bit of a grind amount, especially after halftime.
Yeah.
The game really slowed down. But it was still entertaining to watch, but Canberra, once again trying to chase points.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do it this week. Like, you know, they've been fairly good in attack.
Yeah.
But the Roosters sort of held them at bay, and that one of them teams that sort of looked a little panicky. With Williams and White, and they just couldn't quite come up with, with those right options at the right time to get tries. You know, plenty of forced dropouts, but they just couldn't put the points on the board. Yeah, you know, the Roosters had them covered.
You're right. It's exactly what you just said. Then I think they had the chance to, I suppose it was only 10-6. They had a chance to win. I just don't think Jack Whiten really sort of took that game like he has in the past few games. He didn't do, I guess, much in that game like he has. Like he's been great for that side all year. He didn't against the Roosters. He just sort of didn't take, you know, his run of form to me the way he's been playing.
No, that's right. So. He's been terrific. And they shut him down. And I think a lot of it to do was with the amount of quality possession that they lacked, you know, inside the attacking, 30, 20 metres of the Roosters. They didn't have a whole lot of that, and the Roosters had plenty down the other end of the field. And to Canberra's credit, they only let in 18 points.
Yeah.
But I think that was just part of it as well. It was just too much quality possession for the Roosters, and again, handling errors. And when you're up against the good sides, and they're on their home patch in Canberra, but when you drop the ball as much as what they did, you know, in the spots that they did in their own half, you put too much pressure on yourself, and you can't get yourself out of it.
I think like probably what you've, again, just echoing what you've already said, I think they, although it was a loss for the Raiders, it wasn't a bad loss, I guess, for where they're sitting in the ladder, so to speak. They, you know, if you're going to lose against anybody, you might as well lose against the Roosters, but it wasn't, you know, there was a lot of stuff that, yes, they could have done better, but it wasn't one of those losses where they can look back and go, oh, you know, that was, I guess, a terrible loss and we have to rebuild again. So...
No.
Wasn't too bad.
Considering, there's always plenty of stuff to improve on. Hmm. So, you know, they'll take that with them sort of, you know, into next week. And yeah, it's, I mean, they've looked, this is one of the first games probably in the last 6 weeks that they've looked a little overmatched.
Yeah. Yeah. Considering we wrote them off like halfway through when Hodgson went down. So, they're still playing well. last two games on the Sunday. So the first one was the Eels beating the Warriors 24-18. Another game that I thought, I guess the Warriors, well, both teams win, but the Warriors were definitely in with a chance to win that.
No, absolutely. Like in saying that, you know, Parramatta come out hot.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in that first half an hour, and you're just like, wow, that this doesn't look good.
No,
you know, it's the same sort of thing. This could be Parramatta by how many? You know, they were looking crisp and clean. The Warriors just had no answers to what Parramatta were throwing at them, and you know, two unbelievable tries back to back, by Harris Tavita.
Yeah.
He was the guy that scored. But, for the Warriors, that got them back in the contest.
Yeah.
Two of Arthur Sheck sort of are getting back into not so much form of old, but, yeah, he's starting to play a lot better with the team playing a lot better, and that's good signs for him.
I just think you're right. They were in the game. I just think their completion rate let them down. they couldn't hold the ball. Basically, you know, they only completed 74% of their sets. So it I don't know what I mean. The halves haven't been Cody and Harris Tevita. Chanel has Harris Tevita haven't been playing sort of too bad this year. So
I think they complement each other fairly well. And that's again, you know, to the Warriors' credit, they stuck in the contest. Mm. They could have dropped their bundle after the Wunga Blake try, and that sort of put them behind. You know, I think it was 22-12, but they answered pretty much straight away after that. Yeah, to make it 22-18, and then Mitchell Moses slots that penalty goal. With like 4 minutes to go. At the end of it, to sort of put them out by the 6 points, and then they've really sort of struggled, you know, in that last couple of minutes to sort of get the ball down the other end, to even give themselves a chance to win that game.
They, I think their biggest, and this is for the Eels, although it was a win, I don't think it was a great win. Even the coach post sort of game said he doesn't feel they're still their contenders yet. They. What's the best way to put it? They even though they're firmly entrenched in the top four, they just seem that they've lost. I guess that sort of edge really, because they should be beating these sides comfortably, and they're not beating these sides comfortably. So it's
The Warriors haven't been in terrible form. Like going on their place on the ladder. You could think otherwise, but the Warriors are no easy beat.
No, the Warriors. No, you're right. The Warriors are definitely no easy beats at all. It's interesting. I don't know. With the Eels, it's just interesting to me where they're winning these games. I just find it interesting where they're sitting. I just don't think they're going to trouble anybody coming to the finals. That's what I'm.
They have dropped off. Their play has dropped off.
Yeah.
From where they were a month ago.
Yeah.
Game five weeks ago, their play has really sort of dropped off a little bit. You know, whether it's sort of coinciding with a few other guys that aren't really in the best of form at the moment. Reed Marnie got hurt in that game. It looked like he was done. It looked like it was an AC joint problem, and he's been named this week. So, not sure what's going on there. Whether that was a very, wrong diagnosis of how bad his shoulder injury was. So, but he's been named to play this week. So, you got to take that with a grain of salt on how bad. Obviously, he recovered fairly well. During the next couple of days, because that was only the Sunday game and today's Tuesday, so you think, all right, the Warriors are no easy beats. They did well to sort of stay in the contest for as long as they did, and like you said, Parramatta are just playing well enough to get the job done at the moment. And into the finals, and that's all you've got to do. You know, when all you've got to do is win. Doesn't matter whether it's by 1 point or 40 points. When it comes to the finals, all you got to do is win.
And they'll finish third. I've no doubt about that. I just think if they're going to obviously finish third, they're going to come up against the Storm in that first game, and I just don't see them beating the Storm. That's pretty much it.
And once they'll finish third, so they'll get two bites at the cherry. So
yeah, that's exactly right.
That's why you get in that top four. So you do have that chance to sort of, have a little bit of a mishap, so to speak, in the finals, and still be okay that you'll get it. You'll get another chop.
The final game of the round was the Cowboys. literally 83 minutes won the game. Valentine Holmes slotted a field goal to win 23-22 against. Against the Dragons. I was just perplexed in that game. I didn't think they had that fight back in them, to be completely honest.
They were behind a lot of that game.
Yes, they were.
Francis Molo scored the first try, and they were looking good. And they just little lapses, little drops in intensity, and you know the Dragons all of a sudden, you know, pretty much go 2 tries in 6 minutes, and it puts the Cowboys on the back foot, and you're like, oh, okay, you know, it's going to be the same old story. And you know, like I said, once again, to the Cowboys, how sort of well they played, and they actually looked like they believed in themselves this week that yes, we can come back and win this game. You know, a lot of swings in momentum, like it was all for North Queensland in the first 20 to 25 minutes, and then they lost it very quick.
Mm.
And yeah, to end that first half, yeah, St. George looked like they were playing, you know, the better of the two teams.
It was just that what they, you know, you said when you said they lost it, it's just what they've been doing every year. Their defensive lapses on that sort of on the edges that let them down
the edges,
again.
And that's exactly what they're doing. They're attacking the edges, and you know, Zach Lomax, to his credit, slotting all of his convert, or you know, two of the three conversions, they're all from the sideline, and the penalty goal that he hit with a couple of minutes to go wasn't directly in front, was about 30 meters mm-hmm. out as well. So that wasn't mm-hmm. a gimme either to square the game up at 22-all.
No, that's right. Yeah, yeah, exactly right. You live in North Queensland, so especially on Facebook, there's a lot of North Queensland fans out there. I suppose it gave them something to cheer about. I don't know, when I was watching it, I was just so perplexed of, I really didn't think they had that in them to come back and win, because the way they've been playing all year. Josh Maguire played brilliant, by the way. You know, getting over 200 meters. Well,
and he's generally the most critical of the team as well. If you listen to, you know, to some of his interviews after the game and during the week and stuff like that, when they're preparing for the next game, and you know, obviously they've had 9 losses on the trot, which is like the third worst in club history. You know, he's very critical of what they've been doing. So yeah, for them to sort of show a little bit of, you know, steely resolve and to sort of come back, that's, I mean, they were in the lead, you know, going into the final 10 minutes of that game. I had absolutely no faith in them holding St. George out, and it was lucky that it was just a penalty that they put over to make it 22-all. A few sort of missed field goals right at the end by both teams. Right at the end of the game, they were long range shots, but yeah, to end sort of regulation, and then even yeah, each team sort of basically traded field goals in that golden point part of the game, and it was Val Holmes. Well, Valentine Holmes had his first field goal attempt charged down in golden point. The Cowboys ending up getting it back, and then basically it was just a simple setup off the scrum. 3 tackles later, and Val had a nice, easy, basically chip shot to win it for the Cowboys.
And Val had a great game. I mean, it's probably obviously
Val was great.
That's what they paid for.
He's a match winner.
Yeah, he had great run meters. He seemed to be everywhere. Yeah, you know, he scored a try. Yeah, exactly. I think, well, clearly that was, you know, he's been injured, so clearly that was his best game this year.
Tabby Waifu-Doe, I thought, sort of had a little bit of reality check this week. I don't think he was terrific out on the wing. He got absolutely torpedoed by Ravalawa, and he dropped the ball in his own half. I think it might have been about 2 or 3 minutes to go, and it could have cost the Cowboys the game. They took a run off the line. Valentine Holmes hits him on the outside, and he got about 30. He got about 30 odd meters, and then he got run. And then he got run down. I think it was by Ewan Aiken, and he got taken over the sideline. I thought that was sort of a bit of a wrong move. He probably could have sort of stopped and stepped back on the inside rather than just try and absolutely scorch people with speed. And that's good that he backs his. It's good that he backs his speed.
Yeah,
but. He had a little bit of an average game, and yeah, he's only, what is he, 19? I think he turned 19 yesterday or today.
So there's the
future is big for him, but it's that was a bit of a reality check, because there's been a lot of hype around him, and should he be at fullback, you know, with roles reversed with Valentine Holmes. But I
not after I think I've seen the, that, no.
No, but as the season goes on, I think that, yeah, it's, I mean, that's going to be the way to go. And he's not going to be out of the squad. Like, he is.
No.
He's good enough to be in that top 17. Yeah, whether it's a fullback, and it's just good that he's got that fullback experience, because if Val does go down again, or when next year goes back to normal and there's origin period throughout the middle of the year, and Valentine Holmes will most likely be in those origin squads, he can always slot back to fullback, and he should have a fairly easy transition back to fullback. He's played there before,
I'd be certain that Todd Payton likes him too, being that he's coached him before. So,
no, that's right. So, that would be fools to sort of let him slip through the fingers. But no, it's just the way he's 19, so you're going to have average games, and you know, a bit of bounce back factor. This week, the Cowboys have got, I'm pretty sure they've got Melbourne this week, so down on the Sunshine Coast. So that it could be a massacre, or you don't know.
No, you don't know. Francis Milo's not playing sort of too bad. He had another sort of decent game. He's chipping in where he can. He doesn't play a lot of minutes, but he's sort of, I don't know, I don't mind how he's playing.
He's a big unit.
Yeah, he's a big unit. And Jordan McLean was there too, and he got 54 minutes, he got 180 yards. So,
I think since being, you know, sort of thrust into that starting role, Francis Molo, he's getting more and more confident in it. I thought he was a fairly solid bench player. I didn't really rate him that highly. He's been at the Cowboys for a few years now, and he's only ever got into that starting role, you know, with injuries and things like that. But now, obviously with Tamalolo gone, they put Maguire back at 13, and they put Molo up front with McLean, and I think they're a pretty good 1-2 punch. You know, obviously there's no Tamalolo there, and that's a really good 1-2-3 punch. But Josh Maguire he's got a motor on him, and he'll work his ass off all night.
Yeah. So that was the end of the games. We'll do our studs and duds. So the start of the week for you.
Look, Kalen Ponga.
Yeah.
You couldn't go past what, like I said, that was his best game of the season. 15 tackle breaks, which is just unbelievable. It's just he had spiders on him. But in saying that, he's fourth in the league in tackle busts. So it's not as if that's something that's out of the ordinary, and he's been doing that all year. But it just sort of, had a couple of line breaks. I think he had three line breaks, three tries over 200 meters. His first career hat trick. He blitzed the Sharks, in the face of him just being destroyed for a lot of that game, and that hit by Townsend could have really rattled him, and he scored a try after that. It didn't look like it affected him too much, and he just sort of went from strength to strength.
Mine was, and it's totally deserved for what you're saying. I couldn't go past just that 11 minute 16 point blitz by the Tigers. It was just. It was pretty phenomenal. Like, and it wasn't like, you know, Nofaluma did have a great game. He ended up getting 10 tackle busts, but it was just the way they sort of fought back.
To watch it happen is unbelievable. Yeah. You're watching it live and you're just like, what is happening here? What is going on?
You just get, it's funny, your whole body, like, I don't know, it's weird. Like, your whole body changes when you see, like, how close they get, and then you look up at the clock, and it's like 9 minutes left, and you just go, holy crap, they might actually do this. It's great to watch. And it's
no lead. There's not a lot of leads that are safe anymore. No. Like, you have to be on for 80 minutes. Otherwise, teams, once they get that little bit of confidence, can really come home quick.
Yeah.
And that was at Brookie as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. So, I mean, you know, it just was surprising because Cherry Evans had one of his best games of the year too. So,
Look, a lot of Manly. They looked, man, I mean, all signs pointed to a Manly win and looking like they were going to do it comfortably.
Yeah. Your dud of the week?
Look,
please be the exactly the same one.
No, it probably won't be. It's the referees. Like, it just the what we talked about earlier with the Tad Townsend send off. That's just the wrong call. It didn't deserve a send off. And the other call as well with Jazz Tavunga in the Parramatta New Zealand game, where Jazz Tavunga got sent off. And it was fairly early in the game too. It was only 17 or 18 minutes into the game where he's sort of pushing out in a tackle and sort of punching up a little bit. And he got sent for 10. All that was him and Nathan Brown going at it. That's all it was. Both of them were targeting each other. Both going at it. They were both aggressive towards each other. And for the referee to send Tavunga off for that, That's rubbish. I get it. We don't want to condone punching or anything of that. All he's doing is just fighting out of a tackle. Dylan Brown Nathan Brown took a little exception to it, pushed back, but it just didn't deserve 10 in the bin.
No, it was
barely a penalty.
It was very innocuous. That's how I started seeing it.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean,
when it happens so early in a game, that can really sort of dent a team, and that's, I mean, it just looked like it was all Parramatta and it was going to be Parramatta by how many. And, you know, New Zealand done extremely well to be able to fight back and still be in the game, even though they didn't have Tavunga out there for 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, exactly. I still can see your point of the Chad Townsend thing. I just, and the whole pulling out, I see the point of that. I just think he could have tackled him or hit him better. That was my biggest problem with that.
It was definitely his launch angle. That didn't look terrific at all. But it just there were so many factors that went into that happening. You know, Ponga slowing down. There was a lot that sort of went into it, the way that he sort of launched into that. Into that tackle that made it look bad. I think the little tissue in his nose that went flying 5 meters behind him.
They said a mouth guard. You can tell that wasn't a mouth guard, but anyway.
It was his nose tissue.
Mine was the goddamn Sonny Bill, like seeing like every angle of what he was doing.
Absolutely.
Like, it's just, and I blame. Clearly I have to blame Fox Sports for this.
What did they expect him to do? Honestly, he hasn't. He's only been at training back at the Roosters for 3 weeks. He's been over. He's been wherever the hell he was living. If he was living in the UK or living in Toronto, I think he was living in Toronto.
I heard Spain, but anyway.
But you know what I mean? Like, he'd only played a handful of games with the Wolfpack over there in Toronto. So it just, he's, what is he, 35? What do they expect from him?
I just blame Fox Sports because I kind of expected it more, definitely more from Channel 9 because there's, you know, the lineage and the ties he has, I guess, with Channel 9, but not Fox Sports. And
get used to it because it's going to be like that for the rest of the year. You're not going to know any other person on that Rooster side except Sonny Bill Williams. That's it.
And possibly Tedesco. You would think so, Tedesco.
You would
possibly
think so.
Yeah, you would think so.
You would think
so. Oh, that's ridiculous.
But it's just going to be the Sonny Bill Williams hype train, and all the way until the end of the season, whether it ends in a grand final or not. It's just all aboard the SBW hype train. That's all it's going to be.
No, thank you.
No, thank you at all.
Just before we go,
we had the news yesterday that St. George Illawarra had hired Anthony Griffin as their head coach for the next 2 years. So Yeah, big congratulations to him. He was in contention for, I think, all of the, except for the Broncos, but I think, yeah, for all of the vacant jobs that were getting around. And I think the Dragons have landed, you know, a fairly hard nosed kind of guy, and I think he can really help them out.
I'm leaving it. I think he can help them out. I'm just leaving up in the air because I want to see this whole sort of, you know, what happened at Penrith and this, you know, whole fallout. I know they sort of said a couple of things.
There's been a real media spat.
I know that's what I mean. Like, I don't know if there's more to it or.
Guys that are on Fox Sports and that 100% footy or whatever it is that's on, I don't know if that's a streaming thing or that's on Channel 9 and, you know, Andrew Webb and a few of the Fox Sports, yeah, or journos for the Sydney Morning Herald that are on Fox Sports and everything. Yeah, it was a bit of a, I don't know, it's a very bizarre, you know, sort of thing that they're sort of blaming, or not blaming, but they're sort of saying that Andrew Webb has sort of come out and led a bit of a smear campaign against Anthony Griffin to be the coach of the Dragons because he's a Dragons fan and he doesn't think he's the right man for the job. But you can't let your fandom for a team.
No, that's right.
You know, cloud your judgment and objectivity as a journalist.
I just think
to be able to do your job objectively.
I know defensively he was a good coach. I just think, you know, I'll leave it reserved because of how he...
They sacked him when Penrith was running fourth.
That's right. Yeah, I agree. He's a great coach. I don't know. I just...
He's a solid coach. And
I think it's probably just the media blow-up of it. That's why I'm leaving it reserved. The media blow-up of, you know, how he's a boring coach and he lost the dressing room and all that. I think he can coach. I just... and reserved to see what he's going to do. Because he's going to do better than McGregor. I believe he'll do better than McGregor. That I will believe.
Well, that's it. You know, this is sort of McGregor's sort of first chop at being a first-grade head coach. You know, Anthony Griffin's been around a while. You know, he sort of took over the Broncos. They were sort of going into a lean sort of patch after Lockie had retired in 2011. I think that's when he took over in 2011. So it's sort of, and he's still got, I think the thing that they sort of said earlier on NRL 360 that, you know, he's got a 56% win percentage, and that, you know, at the moment out of coaches and he's coached 172 games. If you put that up against the coaches that are in the league right now, he's like fourth in win percentage.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it'd only be like Craig Bellamy, Wayne Bennett, Des Hasler, and someone else. But do you know what I mean? Like, you know, because it's just, yeah, I think there's sort of a bit of a, he's a very sort of, you know, monotone, doesn't show a lot of expression guy. So whether or not players.
Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Or not. But I think once he sort of gets in there and starts to put his coaching philosophy in there, I think they'll gravitate to him.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it this week. Don't forget, follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Facebook. You can get our pod everywhere, especially on Gimco. And I'll get this right now, gimco.com.au.
Get the C out of there. Oh. Get the C out of there. Just Gimco.
Just Gimco.
Mojo King will be very upset with you. Upset the Mojo King.
No, we don't. But
don't do it.
Yeah, so wherever you can get our podcast, you should be able to get our podcast everywhere. We'll have another one this week. I guess not previewing, sorry, but it'll be talking about the first round of the NBA finals.
Yeah, so yeah, that'll be that. Man, they've been to say that they've been super fun to watch. I've sort of been hit and miss with how much I'm sort of watching the NBA with work and everything, but the way that they sort of have them at the moment, it's good to sort of come home off a night shift. And to see the NBA being played so early in the morning, it's terrific. So you can sort of watch a little bit of it. Yeah, it's probably not so great for for somebody like yourself that doesn't work all night. And that's going to be the beauty of the NFL as well. Like this week, ESPN has just granted my wish that they ditched. I can't remember what the game was that was supposed to start at 6:30 on Monday morning, and they've dumped it for the Saints and Buccaneers. So I get to get to watch the boys at 6:30 on Monday morning. So that'll make me very, very happy when I finished work on Monday morning.
Won't that be a game that'll just be like we said yesterday
when we did the preview, I don't know what the first 3 to 4 weeks is going to be. It could be anything. I've got a funny feeling that there's going to be no people in the Superdome.
There will be no people. You would have heard about it by now. There will be no people.
I think they're saying by about week 6 or week 7 they're going to start. A lot of teams are going to start to let fans back in. But if America can't get this virus under control, there's no point in bringing that many people. All of their stadiums are all gigantic.
Yeah, there's no...
60, 70,000 people in them.
There's no way they're going to have fans in there. There's no way. They're going to lose money, don't get me wrong, but they're probably going to make more money through television deals enough to put them through than just to can it all together, I would dare say.
Well, that's the thing. It's not really the NFL as a whole then, because if it's going to be the clubs that will lose money.
That's right. And I'm sure these owners don't want to lose money. So
no, of course not. You know, if you don't get 80,000 people at Cowboy Stadium there, if the Saints aren't getting 75,000 or 70,000 people in the Superdome for 8 weeks of the year, don't forget it's only 8 weeks of the year that they get home games.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got to maximize every last dollar and opportunity that you can to make as much money as humanly possible of those 8 games.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just, I just don't see fans in there. There's no way I've seen fans in there. So,
two of the Power Five conferences in college football have said, well, we're not going to play right now.
Yeah, I get it.
The Pac-12 and the Big Ten have said, well, we're just not going to do it. But yeah, Big 12, ACC, and SEC have all come out and said, yeah, no, we're just going to keep charging. So it's such a contrast in opinions about, you know, whether they can sort of play football and sort of keep this virus under control and keep their players and, you know, in regards to college students safe.
Yeah, that's
keep
right.
Keep them away from the virus.
That's exactly right.
And look at what the NBA's doing. They brought families in now. You know, how they're doing it. They're doing it in that controlled environment. It's in a bubble.
Yeah, but
I hate that word bubble.
But that's completely different.
Have a look at what's happening. Have they had anyone, go down with COVID-19?
The NFL's completely different. You're not going to have that many players, that many staff. There's no way you could do a bubble for that.
There's like 80 players. So there's like 80 players with, 80 people, staff and players.
Yeah, exactly.
Squad, at least. It's just impossible to have, that control environment. You can't do it.
No, you can't do it. So, but they are, like, I've been watching Hard Knocks and that. They're very, very keeping to the protocol. The NFL have a very strict protocol.
If one team goes out there and ruins it for the NFL, woof.
Yeah.
They are going to get hit with an extremely large sledgehammer.
I dare say so.
Well, that's me.
Yeah, I agree.
Start of the year, if players with the NRL, put in jeopardy the league and this league finishing off, and the NRL is a peon compared to the NFL.
So what happens if
a team or anything or that shuts down, a multi-billion-dollar entity like the NFL, they will just get crushed in a lot of senses.
Oh, I totally agree. All right, have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason. Can't wait to see Tex Hoy play Smith. Can't wait.
Oh, can't wait. He's that fullback as well. He's just going to have roam of the field. It's going to be fantastic. It just, yeah, I just love everything about him, even though they're playing the Roosters. So,
it's the name.
My name's Miles. Can't wait for Saturday night to watch the Knights either, Plum. So, get that on your TV. It's
get your text for your sauce ready.
Oh yeah, just yeah.
Someone's gonna make text for your sauce. Surely.
We should make that.
We should make that. Just going off his name.
any likeness, we'll have to cut him in on a percentage.
That's fine.
I've got no problems with that.
He can have unlimited interviews with us. That's fine, because we're the one player we love.
Let's get him out there. Give us a shout out, Tex.
Just so I can say his name, Tex Hoy. That's the only reason I want him on there, to say it every 10 seconds. All right. See you, everyone.
We're up.